Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 11 of Proverbs. I'll read first. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then comes shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of the transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dies, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perishes. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked comes in his stead. A hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. He that is a surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hates suretyship is sure. A gracious woman retains honor, and strong men retain riches. The merciful man does good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubles his own flesh. The wicked works a deceitful work, but to him that sows righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tends to life, so is he that pursues evil, pursues it to his own death. They that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is that scatters and yet increases. There is that withholds more than his meat, but it tends to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. He that withholds grain or corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that sells it. He that diligently seeks good procures favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come to him. He that trusts in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubles his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. There's a whole bunch of good stuff in this one. Let's go back to the first verse. A false balance or a deceitful scale is a disgusting thing to the Lord, is what it should say. A deceitful scale. Someone trying to weigh out their money and cheating people. He said that is not an abomination, but it should say a disgusting thing to the Lord. But a just weight or a perfect stone, what the actual language says, a perfect stone is his desire. So he's saying a perfect stone is a desire. That means when you weighed things out, you weren't cheating anyone, right? And who is the perfect stone? Christ was the stone. If you measure everything by him, you won't have a problem, will you? That's the desire of God, to be Christly in all things. When pride cometh, or literally pride, the word is arrogance. When arrogance comes, then comes disgrace. Disgrace comes with arrogance. But with the humble is wisdom. So you could turn that around, flip it, and say, with the humble is wisdom, with the arrogant there is no wisdom. Yeah, it'd be the eye and not the humble. Verse 3 goes on and says, the integrity of the just shall guide them. So your integrity. Integrity is something that's within you. It's not something you wear like a badge. Something, it's your character, it's your nature, it's your very makeup of your being. But the perverse or the deception of the deceitful shall ravage them. See, when you work in deception, there's one thing about deception, it's the worst thing. Does anybody know what the worst thing about deception is? It deceives you. And see, if you work in deception and you think you're deceiving someone else, guess what? You're only deceiving yourself. You might deceive someone else, but you're deceiving yourself first and foremost. It will bite you back. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. So when it comes to the day of wrath or the day of judgment, you think money's going to help? Only in this world, not in reality, is it? But righteousness delivers from death. We're not talking about our flesh dying. It's from the carnal mind. Righteousness delivers me from that carnal way of thinking, which is death. Carnality is death, according to the New Testament, isn't it? The righteousness of the, not perfect, but of the truth, shall direct your way or my way. That's the way you should read that. Righteousness of the truth shall direct my way. But the wickedness shall fall. The wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Kind of like you're setting a snare for somebody and it gets you. You'll fall in your own traps. Verse 6. The righteousness of the just shall deliver them. But the transgressors or the deceitful shall be taken in their own deceit or greed. The deceitful shall be taken in their own deceit and greed. Verse 7 goes on to say, when a wicked man, that's Adam, dies, his expectation shall perish. But the expectation of expectation of wickedness perishes. You say the whole thing again. I'll take the whole 7th verse. When a wicked man, or the wicked Adam, dies, his expectation shall perish. And the expectation of wickedness perishes. So he says, a wicked man, when he perishes, there he's gone. You know, his expectation perishes, and the expectation of wickedness perishes with him. So when Adam in you dies, guess what happens?
Everything else goes with it.
All the wickedness goes with it. See what I'm saying? That's why there can't be two men. A double-minded man can't be there. When that one tree is cut down, the only thing left is the tree of life, isn't it? When the one man's taken away and there's only one man left, the one taken away has got to be that wicked man, and all that expectation of wickedness is gone too. Kind of like what, it's same thing as what Ezekiel said. He's going to give you a new heart. He's going to take the old heart out and do away with it and give you a new one. Well, when God puts a new one in you, guess what? There's no more wickedness. You now have the mind of Christ, correct? You can function in it now because you have it now. Verse 8, the righteous is delivered out of trouble and the wicked comes in his stead. So we step out of the way and the wickedness is the one that gets whacked on. My natural man is the one that's going to get beat up. I don't care what anybody says. My natural man, my spiritual man is not beat up, cannot be beat up, will not ever be beat up because it was perfect from the very beginning. And so is everybody else's. They just haven't come to the realization yet. Verse 9, a hypocrite or a godless man with his mouth destroys another person, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Wicked people, hypocrites, godless people, use their mouth as a weapon. We saw a TV program the other day on TV, just this weekend, and this lady got her car towed. She parked someplace and didn't, and they wouldn't let her have the car back. She had borrowed the car from somebody. It was a very expensive car. It was like a Mercedes or a Lexus. And she went to get the car from the impound city, from the city garage where they towed it in. And she argued and fussed with the guy that towed it. And he said, nothing I can do. I was told to tow it, and I towed it. You know, talked to the manager. And this was a black lady. And the black lady was a manager. This woman was a black lady also. And she come out and tried to have a little compassion with her. Said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I can't let you have the car because you have no driver's license on you and you have no identification to prove who you are. So I can't let you have the car. Go get that stuff and come back and let you have it. She said, well, I can't do it. I can't go back to the person and tell them I lost her car, you know. She said, well, at least let me get my stuff. So she let her get her stuff out of her purse with her money and stuff in it, her cell phone, all this stuff. And she said, you know, now that. Well, as soon as she got it, she just started barking at her, screaming, yelling, making a fool out of her, jumping up and down and just shaking her fist and just going crazy. Just went wild. Her emotions went totally crazy. And the woman had done her a good thing. She didn't have to let her touch the car again. And she let her get her stuff out, and then she turned around and bit her, you know. That's the same thing that happens here. someone does something good and they will be taken care of, but the one who goes crazy like that, and then she got escorted away immediately, escorted off the property, and said, now you can go through regular channels to get it back. If it takes to the first of the week, so be it. You know, you're in trouble. See, it's that wicked, that stupidness in people, that arrogance and pride and fleshly emotions that rear up, always get you caught.
Wouldn't she be
an idiot? Oh, no question there, brother. The boss lady was being a very decent person, you know. Yeah. But the other woman was being an idiot to her, and she hadn't done her a favor, and she still did that. You know, see? Didn't appreciate it.
Didn't go ahead and become an idiot too.
No, she didn't. She acted right. She done the righteous thing about it. Well, you know the old saying, when I was a child, you always heard, sticks and stones may break their bones, but words will never hurt me, which is a lie. That's a lie, because those words will stay with you for a lifetime if you let them. I mean, there's people that's carrying it, I know, for 40, 50 years that I know, that someone said something to them in school, you know. They're still carrying it. It's terrible. You know, it's terrible to get caught up and be imprisoned and see you're being imprisoned by that stuff. So, it's lies. Verse 10. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. Are we really talking about a town here? Isn't the holy city from New Jerusalem coming down as a bride adorned for her husband? See, it's about this woman being prepared for her husband, actually being what we're supposed to be, right? And when the wicked perishes, there is shouting. We're not talking about people here. We're talking about the wicked in us, okay? We'll get happy when we realize that that natural way of doing things is not the way to do it, and doing it the spiritual way, the righteous way, that's the way that makes it good. We got to get out of this concept of thinking about good people versus bad people. All people are good. They're all God people. They're all God's people. But some of them don't know who they are yet. And all I'm trying, and like he said, the righteous shall never be removed from the earth, and the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. And all the transgressors will be rooted out of the earth. That's right in this book, isn't it? In Proverbs 2, 20 and 21. It's also in this chapter right here, toward the end of it. It was also in last chapter, in verse 30. The righteous shall never be removed, and the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. It's not talking about a group of bad people versus a group of good people. It's talking about all people that have wickedness in them. No, it's not talking about a rapture, no. It's talking about God removing the wickedness out of each and every one of us. Absolutely. Taking that old heart out and giving us a new one. Okay, verse 11. By the blessing, or by the prosperity of the just, the city is exalted. When the just, and that's the Christ within each one of us, the city is exalted. By the prosperity of the just, the city is exalted. What city are we talking about again? The New Jerusalem coming down from above. Okay. Bride.
It's not
no, it's not external. It's an internal thing with each one of us. But it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. We're not talking about somebody coming up and talking about us. We're talking about the mouth we got. If there's two men in the earth, the one's got a bad mouth and one's got a good mouth. Verse 12. He that is void or without understanding, or without wisdom, or without understanding, despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding remains silent. What do you think that's all about? We got to take it inside. Who is my neighbor? My neighbor is my flesh, my natural man. He's the one that lives close to me, see? And I got to take all this inside. I can't take part inside and part outside. We've got to take it consistent, don't we? So the one I got to deal with, I got to learn to live with this flesh. And I don't have to beat it up. I don't have to abuse it. I don't have to slander it. I don't have to do anything. God gave it to me. And I got to make the best out of it. Okay? So I have to learn to not speak all the time about my flesh. Deal with it. Isn't that the answer? Deal with it. Don't talk about it. Because talking doesn't get us anywhere if we don't put action behind it, do we? We got to put a little energy into this thing and do something about it. Instead of talking about my flesh, put my flesh in control, under control.
In submission
to the Christ, the righteous man.
You take charge of that wrong, not
in your mind, absolutely.
You got to take in that, cut down that tree yourself. The root, the axe is laid by the root of the tree.
Pick up the axe and cut it down.
That thing cut down, that's what it's saying.
Yeah.
Pick up that axe and cut down that
tree. Absolutely. And if you do that, you won't have any issues, will you? See, the battle's the Lord's. I don't have to fight battles. There's still many preachers out there saying, you got to do the battle. You got to fight. You got to do it. No, you don't. If the battle's his, why do I have to fight anything? See, I'm going to take him for what he said. He said it was his battle, then I don't have to fight. And you know what I found out? Since I quit fighting, I don't have any problems. There wouldn't be any problem, would there? The only reason there's a problem is because people think that they have a right to run somebody else's life. They know better than they do. Well, I had someone one time tell me, and I won't say who it was, but anyway, as a family member, she was talking about her husband not having the mentality to do what she could do. I said, well, I can't find a verse in the Bible that says if my husband is not as smart as me, I can take control. Well, oh, she loves him, but she's going to dominate and control him, see? Because he don't know any better. I know more about it than he does. That's the mentality of religion. It's everybody's going to do it for you. And Paul said, you know, through the Spirit of God, you got to do it for yourself. Now, God gave everybody the ability. And the only reason some people are not real aggressive. And some people misread that not being aggressive is not being very smart. But the Bible just said, you know, it's why you're thought to be wise when you're silent. In Proverbs 17. Let me read it to you. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise, and he that shuts his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. See? But the world wants you just to blurt everything and take control and manipulate everybody, and just be quiet and let God do what he's got to do, see? Anyway, get off that issue. We got to take care of ourselves. If everybody took care of themselves and left everybody else alone, it'd be a better world. You got to let people make their own mistakes so they can learn. If you start doing it for them, when will they ever learn to do it for themselves? Never. That's the answer for that one. Get a whole bunch of amens to that. Everybody ought to be saying that. A slanderer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Now, a talebearer or a slanderer. A slanderer is someone who tells malicious stories, malicious being the key word, with the intent there to hurt someone. Jesus is a perfect example of someone who did not slander, but yet he revealed many, many times the hearts and conditions of humanity, didn't he? He called them liars, thieves, serpents, snakes. You know, that if you did that today in the church world, well, they'd just all run away from you if you started telling them you're a liar. You're a hypocrite. You know, you're a snake. You have the deception of a snake, and that's what the snake represents, deception and deceitfulness. So, you know, if you start telling this truth, which is still a truth and is the only thing that can set you free, they don't want to hear it. Well, they'd run you away. Huh? Excommunicated or killed, one of the two. Oh, you'd be exercised. You'd be getting exercised ducking all the time. I used to have a man I'd talk to all the time, and he'd call me, and every time we get in a conversation, he'd turn around sooner or later, and he'd start throwing rocks at me. So I said, is there any rocks left over across the other side of the river? And he said, what? I said, is there any rocks over in that county? And he said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, you've thrown them so many at me, I just figured there's no stones left in Lewis County, Kentucky. They're all over in Soda County. I could build a house out of the stones you've thrown at me. So he laughs about it now. He don't do it as much now, but I just, every time he started, I'd wait till he gets done. Next time he called me, he said, any stones left over? But he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. You know, there's some things that doesn't need to be brought out. See, if it's brought out for the point of revealing a truth, that's okay. But if it's brought out with the verse before as a slander, there's a malicious intent involved with it. And that's the ones we stay away from. Okay? To reveal things that need to be revealed is one thing, but to do damage to someone or get revenge on someone, that's the one we leave alone. Verse 14, where no counsel is, and now that doesn't say the full gist of what the language says in the scriptures. It should say where there is no good or wise counsel, the people fall. It's not just counsel, because you can get good or bad counsel, can't you? But it says good or wise counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude or the abundance of counselors, there is not safety but deliverance. See, having a bunch of different people telling you and seeing where that is leading. And again, he's talking about what kind of counsel? it's a godly counsel, a good or a wise counsel. We're not talking about worldly counsel here. We're talking about spiritual counsel. It's a spiritual book, so we're not talking about worldly things. We're talking about spiritual things. Verse 15. He that is a surety for a stranger shall, what? Suffer for it, is the correct word. And he that hates suretyship is sure. Now let me read this out of Proverbs. I want to read it out of Proverbs out of the Living Bible. He who is a surety for a stranger shall surely suffer for it, but he who hates going surety is safe. So he said, if you don't like giving a pledge for somebody else, standing as a surety for their financial gain or whatever, like co-signing loans, if you don't do that, guess what? He said, you're sure, you're safe, you're secure. If you don't do it, how could you be in jeopardy of anything? The Living Bible really states it pretty good. Verse 16, a gracious woman does what? Literally grasps honor. Not retains, but grasps. Reach out and gets a hold of it. See, a woman of grace reaches out and grasps honor. And a strong or oppressive man retain or grasp wealth. And the word men is added there, so you could put woman in there and make it the same thing to be the, in the context it's implied. So it's saying a gracious woman grasps honor, and a oppressive woman retains or wealth, okay? Or grasps wealth, because it's in the same context. It's an implied word. So the gracious woman grasps or retains the honor, and the strong or oppressive woman grasps riches. The merciful man does good to his own what? Literally, it's body or flesh. But he that is cruel troubles his own flesh. The word soul isn't correct. It's body or flesh. It's the same in the last word, flesh. It could be flesh or body. See, they put these words in there to try to make it some kind of woo-woo spiritual thing, and it's not there. See, that's what I'm trying to show you is that just take what God says in context of what he says, and you'll understand way more than most people. And if there's any blanks, guess who will fill them in? God will fill them in. If you need something to fill the blank in, he'll put it in there. Don't struggle so hard to put something in there just to fill a blank. If it's blank, it's blank because you're not ready for it yet. And when it's time, that'll come to you. Verse 18. The wicked works a deceitful work, but to him that sows righteousness is a sure reward. So if you do it the right way, you have a sure reward. Does that mean you get it instantly? It's not instant gratification. There's a word that most people don't understand. Delayed gratification. We have a whole society of people that does not understand delayed gratification. That if you do something sooner or later down the road, it'll catch up with you and it'll pay dividends. If you save money, eventually it'll pay dividends. You can't put your money in the bank and take it out in 2 weeks and say, I've done a great thing. I saved money for 2 weeks. See, they want instant gratification. Well, there isn't any instant gratification in truth. In the illusion of this world, everybody's looking for the instant gratification. If I want to do something, I've got to put something in the bank and save it for many, many years for it to build up and pay me back something, especially today with the interest rates they are. You got to let it age. The good wine takes a while.
Uh-huh. You start in it, it's going to take a while before you really see what.
Put it in the wine cellar and leave it set for years. Then it'll be good, you know. Same thing. If the natural takes it, the spiritual does the same thing. Okay, verse 19. As righteousness tends to life, so he that pursues evil pursues it to his own death. If the righteous tend to life, looking to the issues of life, the evil is looking for the issues of death, aren't they? Whether they realize it or not, they're still doing it. We go back into Proverbs 6 or 7 there about the woman. Remember the woman that was the harlot? Verse 20. They that are of a perverted mind, not a froward heart, but a perverted mind, are disgusting to the Lord. Perverted minds a disgusting thing to the Lord. But such as are upright in their course of life are his desire. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished or free, but the seed of the just shall be delivered. I had a friend one time, and he was very much into the rapture thing, you know. And I won't even need to say the denomination he was with. And he did it. He married a woman just because of her money. Her family had money. And so he figured if he'd go join that church, they'd give him money, you know. And they've took care of him in the natural. But he's had a lot of tough things come at him, too. And he told me one time, when he heard about the rapture, he said, and he believed it because the Catholic Church even taught it to him, you know. He said, I told my wife, he said, just hold on to my hand when the rapture comes. You can go with me, because he didn't believe in that church that she belonged to, but now he is in part of that church. They've swayed him into it for the financial reasons. See? So he said, you just hold on to my hand when the rapture comes. You can go with me. Is that what that book says? Though hand be joined in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. They're not going to be free. Oh, he thought he was right. But I mean, you know, I mean, that's the arrogance of lack of understanding. You know, you can always judge yourself as being the good guy, right? And we can very, very rarely, does anyone ever judge themselves correctly, right on the head. They too loose or too tight. You know, judge yourself too wrong or too right. Verse 22. As a jewel or a nose ring, that's what it should say, a nose ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman which is without discretion. Well, we got a society full of that. Don't need to go there. But we're not talking about, let's just get back to where it should be inside. As a golden nose ring in a swine snout. Now, what's a swine represent? It's an unclean animal, but it represents really the religious system. It's the hypocrites. They look good on the outside. The pig looks good because it's got the split hoof, but it does not have the two stomachs where it can regurgitate and chew the cud, right? So that's it speaks of religion. Just like in Matthew where he said, cadence not your pearls before the swine, at least they tend to turn and rend you. And the swine represents the religious side that thinks they're better than everybody else. So putting this no gold nose ring in a swine, it isn't going to work, is it? Because that swine's going to root that gold ring out there and just beat it all to pieces. They ain't going to treat it right, is it? So is a beautiful woman which is without discretion. So you take today, we got so many beautiful women, and because of their beauty, what are they doing to themselves in pornography and films and, I mean, everything? They're destroying themselves over their beauty. It just doesn't work, does it?
Couldn't that still be the way that in Proverbs where it speaks about the soul adorns itself with everything to attract the male?
Sure it is. To distract him. It's the same thing. It's saying, you know, it doesn't make sense. I mean, why would you put that in a pig? You know, and you think God is going to give this gold, this nature, his nature, into the woman with no discretion? Say, he's not going to do it. See, they can have all the beauty they want in the natural, but it really doesn't. If they have no discretion, what good's it going to do them? See, they're wasting it. They're destroying it. And when they are beautiful inside and out, wouldn't that be a much better picture for everything? But they're not. Okay, verse 23. The desire of the just is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There ain't a whole lot you can say about that, is there? It just says it straight up. Now this next one, verse 24, says there is that. There should be another word, O-N-E, in there. There is one that scatters. That makes more sense, doesn't it? There is one that scatters and yet increases. And there is that withholds more than is right, but it tends to poverty. Now, do you understand the picture? There is one that scatters and yet increases. The one scattering is the one helping and giving to everybody else. And yet they increase. The more you give away, guess what happens? The more you get back. God brings it back to you because you have the spirit to disperse it to the people who need it. Now, we're not talking about someone who being stupid and just dumping it off in the middle in a big pile and saying, giving it to the world. That's not what he's saying. Use it wisely. Use discretion in giving things away. It's wisdom, the words. Yeah, everything. You know, don't just let somebody wear you out because you'll help them. Use your brain. You know, think a little bit. Think about what God has given you. See, that's why he gave you a brain, so you would think about these things. There's thousands of different ways that this can fit. But there is one that scatters and yet increases. And there is that, there is one that withholds more than is proper or right, but it tends to poverty. So people who hoard it up, what good's it do them? Yeah, there's like, I know a lot of them that's like that. And they got money hoarded up that they will never spend in their lifetime. And there's people around them that need it, and they wouldn't help them. They'd let them lay there and bleed to death or starve to death, and they wouldn't help them. Oh, absolutely. It's, they live in the I world. The I, me, and mine world. And they really have nothing, because when you have nothing but inanimate objects, what kind of a life do you have? You have no life. There's no life in inanimate objects. But if you have true friends around you, not because you have a bunch of stuff, but because of who you are and how you live your life, there's who you really are. There's where your life is. Absolutely. I had a friend that used to say it this way. He said, love needs some hands and feet. He said, needs some hands wrapped around a mop and some feet pushing him things out of the way when his house was flooded and the church people wouldn't come and help him. But some heathen people lived up the road, come down and helped him. These church people come by and said, hope you get things straightened out, brother, and left him standing in mud up to his knees in his house when it got flooded, and there's flash floods in 97. He said, he got angry. And I said, brother, that's not the answer, getting angry. You know, just use your discernment. You know which one is a brother and which one isn't. Just because that brother over there don't go to church don't mean he ain't your brother, is it? He's showing you God more than the church folk are. So don't hold it against him. I said, don't be bad at him. He's the one helping you. You got to see God in him and realize that's not God, that's religion in them people coming out of the church. Verse 25, the liberal soul shall be what? Made fat or prosperous or rich, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. Is that saying the same thing as the verse before? You know, if you give, it'll be given unto you, right? Good measure, shaken down, running over, shall men or humanity give unto your bosom. Verse 26, he that withholds the grain, the people shall curse him. Now what is the grain? It's the word of God. The people shall curse him for withholding it. But blessing or prosperity shall be upon the head of him that sells the grain. So if you let the grain out. Now didn't Joseph, when he was in Egypt and he was made to be second in command, he stored up the grain, and when the time come, did he just give it away? He sold it. Didn't he sell it to his own brothers even? But he gave it to him. Yeah, in reality, but he made everybody from the world come, and they paid for it. And I'm not saying sell the Word of God, but there's other ways to purchase the Word of God, like through your desire and ambition to know and experience and live with God. You're paying a price, aren't you? You're deserting the world, turning away from that worldly way of doing things and coming to God's way. You're paying a price. There's different ways to buy it than giving money. Verse 27, he that diligently seeks good finds favor. It says procures, but literally finds favor. But he that seeks evil, it shall come to him. If you're looking for evil, will you find it? If you're looking for good, will it find it? You'll find it, I guarantee you. Verse 28, he that trusts in riches or wealth shall fall, but the just shall flourish as a branch. And you know, if you look at a branch in the springtime when it's time to grow, what happens to it? Just see all kinds of new little shoots just come out all over it and just starts expanding and increasing. Isn't that the gist of the last five or six verses here? Talking about being prosperous. You'll prosper if you do what God tells you to do. Live by His nature, you'll prosper. Verse 29, he that troubles, literally the word trouble should be afflicts. He that afflicts his own house shall inherit the wind. Well, when you do something like cutting off your nose to spite your face, you know, yeah, that's just not a real wise thing to do. But when we let our emotions run our life, that happens quite frequently, doesn't it? And the fool or the foolish shall be a servant to the wise in mind, wise of mind. The foolish shall be a servant to the wise. What's Proverbs 17:2 say? A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. Okay, there's your parallel to it. If we're wise, we'll do what we're told, won't we? what God shows us to do. And see, that's the thing. People don't understand. This is not about someone beating you into submission and telling you what to do. It's someone submitting to it. A whole lot different, isn't it? It's a voluntary thing when you realize this is the best thing in my whole life that could ever happen to me, is coming into submission to the ways of God. It's no longer a labor, but it's a labor of love. It's a joy to do what I do. It's not a job. It's just a blessing to be able to have and possess what He's given me. You know, to be able to know and have the freedom and the liberty that He's given me. Nothing can compare to it. Nothing. Verse 30. The fruit of the just is not a tree, but the tree. It's a definite article, not an indefinite article. The fruit of the just is the tree of life. And he that, it says wins, don't it? And that is not a good word. I'll tell you what it's supposed to be. And he that captured his soul is wise. Oh, does that change it? Everybody says you're supposed to go out there and win souls. No. You're supposed to capture your own. That means take into submission your own emotions, doesn't it? Does that change the story a little bit? See, it's not about going out and trying to win souls like the church has mistranslated this. That word says captures his own soul.
Let the church have all the souls.
Yeah. Who wants it? Who wants them? You only got use for one, haven't you? The one you got. And that gives you all the trouble you want. Why would I want any more? It's just like everybody in the church world, they say all these stupid things that nobody knows where they come from. They just repeat them because someone said it. And give your heart to Jesus. He don't need your heart. He had one. He finished with that thing. He's done with it. You know, it's insane. And he didn't ask for it. Just like I was watching the TV this weekend, and this guy, what's his name that was going to do the invocation for the president when he gets a nominee? Who? Rick? Did you see that was on TV? Well, whatever his name is, the guy the preacher is going to be doing, he made a very incorrect statement in the interview he gave. He was talking to that girl,
Ann Curry,
had the interview on him the other night, Friday night I think it was, and he made this statement. When she said something about him being at peace or something with something, he says, hey, there is 365 statements in this Bible that back this up. And she said, what's that? Fear not. That's a lie. Now that man, I've heard that statement, and Benny Hinn made that statement, and another woman said it to me, and I said, that's not true. And I mean in my spirit. I didn't know for sure, but in my spirit it just did not work. Well, I looked, and it was either 63 or 73, something like that, times it says fear not. Not 365 times. See, that sounds good, but he made a wrong statement. And that's the thing that disgusts me more than anything, is people say things because it sounds good. And say, oh, God will back it up. Don't worry about it. God said what he meant. He didn't mean 365 times, or he would have put it in there 365 times.
Rick Warren.
But that's the sick part about it. See, and everybody believes him because, oh, Obama chose him now. He couldn't be wrong. He's got to be right. Except for the homosexuals. They're mad at him, but they'll get over it. Verse 31, not behold. Does that surprise you? That word's not right? It should be if. King James had behold, but it should be if. If the just shall be recompensed in the earth. He's telling you that. Now, if they're going to be recompensed in the earth, much more, or also, the wicked and the sinful. So where's the judgment going to come? Where's the recompense going to come? All of it's going to come where? Internally. Whether it's good or bad, it's all going to be internal. And we just got to get this picture right. We have to realize that the recompense or the reward is all going to be in this flesh. I'm going to have my reward before I leave here in the flesh. So is everybody else, right? I hope you're getting a better picture of our lives. We're not finished with it yet.